Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. Tia. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ AKTM dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so floppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture, where we keeping it all precious. Stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big X L, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
This is the Ride and Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man, one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM. Be sure to check us out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. One time for the good people over at Ride 95. Be sure to check us out daily at 10 p.m. over at Ride 95 Internet Radio Station. And one time for all the streaming sites that carry the Ride and Dirty Show and play back our interviews, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, whether it's Audio Mac, SoundCloud, YouTube, Blog Talk, Messy FM, over 15 sites we're streaming on. So go to your favorite streaming site and type in Ride and Dirty Radio and check out the new when it comes to these voices and these interviews. All right? Also, man, make sure y'all follow me on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel. Please follow our YouTube channel at Riding Dirty TV, R-I-D-I-N-D-U-R-T-Y TV. And follow us on all other forms of social media, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Riding Dirty Radio. All right, now you know this is the platform. We allow artists the opportunity to talk the talk and walk the walk. This is the platform. We allow you to come tell us how you're changing your world, how you're making a difference in our community, whether it's through arts, entertainment. This is the platform for you to come on and just speak your ish. All right? One time for everybody checking us out right now on Facebook Live. But tonight is no different than any other night on the Ride and Dirty Show. So, welcome to the Ride and Dirty platform. Artist, Jamal Marvel. All right? Jamal Marvel, what it do?
How you doing, man?
Man, I am maintaining. Can I get you to come a little closer to your phone? It sounds like you are far, far away from your phone.
Is this better right here?
That's a little better. All right, man, I got to start out by saying salute to you. I'm very, very humbled for you to come on the show, speak to the listeners and our family. I don't like to call anyone fans, to listen, to check out and speak to the listeners of the show, the family of the show. Very welcome and very humbled to have you on the platform. I don't know why I'm tongue-tied tonight.
But thank you so much for having me, man. I'm humbled to be here as well, man. I'm excited.
All right, so look, man, let's get into it. First and foremost, let the world know where Jamal Marvel is from.
So I'm calling from Arkansas at the moment, but I am from Virginia. That is, where I rep. That's where I was raised at. So VA is my state.
Okay, so you're in Arkansas now, but you are a VA native. First, let's talk about VA. What was it like growing up in VA for you?
Man, it was country. Yeah, I grew up in the country portion of VA, about 45 minutes to an hour inland from Norfolk area, in a small town called Capron. If you know Nat Turner, it's the same town in which you know that happened. So you know, big country, middle of nowhere, type of you know, upbringing.
Okay, all right. When did you realize that you had a talent to pursue this business we call music?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, having a talent, you know, when I realized I had a talent to pursue music or just art in general, that didn't come until I was an adult, right? You know, I always grew up singing. I sung everywhere and sometimes in church, but mostly outside to the trees and the bears that was listening. But, you know, I was pretty shy, so I didn't do a lot of singing in front of people. It wasn't until I became an adult, I was about 20 years old, and I had some friends of mine that didn't use that song, and they were always, you know, really loud and proud about their art. And I was just kind of tagging along because I just wanted to be associated with it. And they kind of found out that I could sing, and then I started singing around their tracks. And once I got a sample of performing and honestly really getting outside validation first, that kind of built my confidence in myself. And from there, it's just been going up and up and up.
All right. Now, you say you were an adult, but as a child, did you grow up in a musical household? Did you grow up listening to a lot of music?
You know, I did. So, you know, I grew up in a really Christian home. My mom was Seventh-day Adventist. My grandparents were, you know, Pentecostal. My dad's side of the family was Baptist. So a lot of religion, Kirk Franklin, things like that. And all honesty, R&B and rap and hip-hop and other forms of music, for the most part in the house, wasn't really, you know, was kind of frowned upon on listening to. Other than, like, oldies, like 70s, 60s, things like that. But anything that was modern, 2000s time period, you know, was kind of frowned upon. So I used to sneak up, you know, wait up late at night and listen to the radio station. It was the Quiet Storm, you know, after my parents would go to bed, you know, 11 o'clock at night, I would stay up and listen to music. And that was kind of my private moment to, you know, immerse myself in something that I was interested in and something I love to do. So, yeah.
All right. So growing up on the type of music you grew up on and then realizing that talent and getting some of those accolades from your peers at a young age, what made you say, you know what, man, let me do this professionally?
It was almost like, so initially I was living in Arizona and I was hanging out with some friends who were amazingly talented, played multiple instruments, drums, guitar, pianos, you know, sung. And one day, you know, we was hanging out and jamming out, and he was like, hey, I booked us a gig. And I was like, gig? And they're like, yeah, we're going to perform at this bar, you know, down in Scottsdale. And I was like, all right, cool, you know, I'm down. So we go and we perform. We did, you know, five songs, covers that was on the radio, five songs that we had created that, you know, I had never thought would see the light of day. You know, I thought it was something we were just doing in the house. And then we did, you know, five songs from, like, throwback 90s time period. And the crowd was really, really receptive. So we started doing different venues, everything from weddings to football and basketball games to, you know, clubs and bars. And from that moment, like, just from that experience, like, once I tasted it, you know, I was just hungry for it. It's like, this is what makes me happy. This is what I think about every day. This is what I'm, you know, my mind is kind of focused on. And once I tasted it, it was kind of, that was it. I went to the studio, you know, with some beats. It was okay, I'm here. I want to record. And from that moment on, it's just been going for it.
All right, now, what was it? Because when I was checking out your bio actually lists you as a, like, you're like a Renaissance man. You're a little bit of everything. Your bio lists you as a singer, songwriter, rapper, producer. All right, so that's four titles. That's four titles under your belt. First and foremost, which aspect did you jump into first?
Singing, 100%. You know, I've been singing, you know, even if I wasn't singing in front of people, I was singing, you know, from, man, I, you know,
up,
five,
fella?
6 years old, I was singing. You know, that was definitely my first love. And in actuality, everything else that I do now really came out of necessity. You know, I lived in Idaho, in Boise, my, you know, friends came around, we was hanging out, and he dropped a program. I left my laptop over his room, and he dropped a program onto my computer, Fruity Loops. He said, hey, you should start trying to make beats, because he was a producer. And I was like, well, you know, that's not what I do, right? Got bored one day, started messing around, and, you know, when he moved away, I didn't have anybody who could really make beats, and I had these ideas and sounds I wanted to get out, and there was nobody else around, so it was like, well, I got to figure out how to do this myself. So I learned how to make beats out of necessity. Same thing we came with rapping. I joined a group called Half Black, where I formed a group called Half Black. Two black guys, two white guys, so that's why we called it Half Black. But it was a hodgepodge of different types of music. We had a rapper from Chicago. We had a EDM producer. You know, I was the pop R&B singer. We had a reggae rock guitarist. And after working with them and getting used to hearing, you know, having that rap portion of the song, when we kind of, you know, went our separate ways, I was missing that because it became part of my aesthetic. So just like, you know, I needed to create because that's why, you know, I needed to fill that void, it was the same thing when it came to rap. I didn't know anyone. So it was like, I want to have somebody rap on this song who sounds this way in this style, and I don't know anyone. So I guess I got to learn how to do it myself. So that's kind of how that came about.
Okay. All right. Now, you start doing a lot out of necessity. Now, a lot of people in this music business who actually – start out with a talent, whether it's to rap or sing, and they end up making beats because they never found a producer that could cater to their style. Now, for you, when you mentioned singing, songwriting, producing, and rapping, which one are you more fond of?
You know, it's so funny you ask that question. You know, now it's kind of hard to separate it, right? Because, you know, it's become so much, like, so part of who I am. Sometimes I sit down and it's like, man, all I want to do is make a beat. Sometimes I sit down, it's like all I want to do is write, all I want to do is sing. So, honestly, I can't really pick between them because I love doing all of them equally. I love rapping. I love playing my vocal tones. It's almost like, you know, I've been singing for so long, so harmonies and things like that come really natural. So rapping is a little newer, but I'm like, man, how do I harmonize while rapping? How is that, you know, a thing? So it's like this exciting new world. As well too. So like, I can't really pick one. I truly enjoy all of it equally. Whatever my spirit is calling for in that moment is what I love doing the most.
All right, no doubt. Now you mentioned being in a group that featured four members and y'all all brought different type of talents and different styles to the table. Mm-hmm. How did the group work out for you, and what caused the group to disband?
Man, so it was a great time in life. I ran across a coworker who worked with somebody else who was like, hey, I know this guy who makes beats. And I was like, you know, we should link up. We should jam out. So, I mean, I went over to his spot, and, you know, we was jamming out. We was living in the dorms then. And, you know, he did EDM. So it was a different style of music, different style of, you know, genre for myself. But, you know, I like pop. You know, I like EDM. So I was like, this is cool. And then one of his coworkers played guitar. He was a reggae rock guitarist. And while we was waiting, right before we started actually kind of, you know, jamming out, you know, they went out to the smoke pit, and there happened to be a guy out there from Chicago. We started chatting. He rapped. He was like, well, we just drinking some beers and jamming. You want to come through and jam out? And, you know, we just started jamming. We just jamming, making music, whatever. Woke up the next day, and we was like, you know, got drunk. And we was like, what did we create? Hit play, we recorded, you know, and everything, and we played back what we had recorded, and we was like, man, like, what is this sound, right? It was, like, it was so different from anything we had heard because it was so many genres fused into one, and from there, we was like, we got something special, let's rock with it. So we started, recording more music, more songs. We was performing out in South Korea, touring in Busan and Seoul, places like that a lot. And then we did that for about a year and a half, and then we just all moved. You know, I moved back to America. One of the guys stayed in Korea. Another person moved to Miami. So really it was just a distance that kind of, broke up the group. And it's not really officially broken up. It's more like we don't really create new material at the moment. But, you know, we're still in contact. And we're, you know, still really good friends.
Okay. All right, now. You've mentioned being from Virginia, but you've mentioned other areas. What's the deal with all the traveling?
So I'm active duty Air Force. So, you know, every 2 years, I kind of move to a different location, two to three years. So that's why I do a lot of moving.
Okay. All right. Now, being in the Air Force and pursuing the music business, do you foresee the music business put you in a position that you leave the Air Force, or you going to always continue to do both? And before you even answer that, thank you for your service.
No problem. I think the goal for every person, right, no matter what they're doing in their lives and their job, and the goal is always to be able to sustain yourself at minimum off of what you love to do as far as your art or your talent is concerned. So, you know, most definitely, my goal when it comes to music, when it comes to, you know, my writing, when it comes to my artistic flair, that is definitely what I want to be my main focus, my main job. So that's definitely the goal. And I definitely see it coming. Opportunities are always arising. The last 2 years has just been this whirlwind of just growth, both as an artist and then also from an exposure standpoint. So, I definitely expect that to take off, continue, you know, to take off, and I could definitely see myself in the near future being able to fully support my life style and beyond on just my art alone.
All right, now I noticed when I was checking out your bio that you actually done a work with one of our former guests, TC versus Chance. What was that like, and how did you guys link up?
Man, TC, that's my girl, that's my sister, man. So we've known each other since childhood.
Okay.
So our parents both went to church together, with Seventh-day Adventist, and that crew, that little group of, you know, parents, children, we all hung out, you know, a lot, and we all stayed in contact over the years, you know. One day TC hit me up, and she's like, "I got this track I want you on. Check it out and tell what you think about it." And it was so interesting because she sent it over. And I remember laughing because I had just created a track that was in that realm, in that funk type, you know, element. And I was like, "Man, I'm on it. I'm in that mind space right now." So, you know, we called each other up, we FaceTimed, and, you know, we wrote the song together. And, from there, magic happened, man. It's a wonderful track. It's a dope track. It's definitely a classic. Everybody loves it. I love it. So, yeah, that's how it came about.
All right, now, you're about to drop your third project at the end of this month. But let's talk a little bit about your first two projects. What were the name of those projects, okay, and how were they received by the people?
So the very first project I did was called Love and Imperfections, right? That was my, I guess, my born day, I guess you could say, my very first project. I didn't really know what I was doing in the studio, just being honest. But I knew I wanted to create, and I knew I wanted to release something. I had so many ideas that I wanted to put out. So I went to the studio, you know, and I put my heart into the album. The album was definitely really special to me, even though it's not the, you know, the top tier of my craft. I was still learning myself and learning my sound. But it has a lot of great songs on it. And it's very special to me because I have a lot of my interludes and stuff are from family and friends. And it just, you know, it represents the beginning of greatness, beginning of my journey. So it always will have a special spot, you know, in my heart. And then from there, after that, that's when I moved to Korea and I joined the Half Black group. And we released the album as a group, called Evolution. And from the experience of working with that group, I mean, I was already exposed to multiple genres, but like I said, from actually physically doing multiple genres, you know, I got to add EDM as being part of my repertoire. Like, that's what I do. I do EDM as well, you know what I'm saying? So after, you know, adding all those sounds to my artistry and who I was, it changed me. It changed the way I sing. It changed the way which I view and I heard music. It, you know, it changed the way in which I pieced together my beats or just the vocal melodies or just the vocal flow of a song or just the flow of a track in itself or the lyrics. It changed all of it. So the next solo album I created was called Tales of a Fool, Volume 1. And that truly was, I would say, the first album of me knowing who I was as an artist. I had experienced, I had been touring. That was truly my, quote-unquote, coming out track, my coming out album.
All right, now, you've been a lot of places, especially being in the Air Force. Like, in have the different places you've traveled to, basically, can we hear those sounds in your music? Like, because being a person who's been so many places, going somewhere every 2 years, relocating, you have to adapt to different musical sounds. Have that affected the way you create?
Oh, 100%, Lee. 100%, Lee. Because, you know, whatever culture you're part of, you know, being, it's not even just like overseas, like even in the States, right? Living in Arizona is a different style, it's a different energy, it's a different time, you know, than when I, you know, was living in Missouri. It's a different time than when I was living in Seoul. You know, it's a different style, you know, type of music, the way that people react to stuff. I think the biggest effect that I had from traveling to different places was probably in South Korea, A, because I lived there the longest. But one thing I realized, you know, out there, I remember being in a club one night. It's an EDM club. You know, it's packed. It's like 3-4 stories. It's like thousands of people in here. It's crazy, right? And the EDM is going on. Everybody's sweating and dancing and jumping around. And in the middle of the party of the club, the music switches, and an old school, like, Mariah Carey ballad comes on. And the whole entire club stops and is, like, singing it. And I'm sitting here like, what just happened? Like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? And it kind of, you know, being around, you know, that experience, not just that experience, but multiple experiences like that, I realized that music is, you know, people are so big on being on trend, right? What's happening today, what's happening now. But I realized is that if you have something, if you have a sound, if you have a song that resonates, is truly timeless, right? So that music in itself is truly timeless. So instead of trying to be on trend, I could just create. You feel me?
Yes. Yes, no doubt. All right. Now, I mentioned the joint you did, Saturday Night Lights with TC. Man, what was it like seeing yourself on BET?
That was an experience, man. You know, it was kind of surreal, to be honest. When she was telling me what was happening, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, right, initially. And then as the date got closer and closer, I was like, wait, like BET? Like what I watched, you know, I used to watch as a kid. Like we on that? You know, it was just a great experience, man. And I don't know, it was just more fuel to keep doing what I, you know, what I'm doing now, which is pushing out music. It was definitely a goal that I didn't even, you know, place for myself that I achieved, you know, and it really just the bar higher for my future goals. You know, it definitely helped cause me to think larger versus on more of a smaller scale. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, now, the name Jamal Marvel, man, that sounds like a superhero. How'd that name come about?
Well, first of all, I'm a nerd. you know, I'm a writer as well, right? So I do music, but I also write. I write in three different universes. I'm working on about 4 books right now that should start being released next year. One of the book series is also called Tales of a Fool. So the album that I released in 2020 was called Tales of a Fool. And the album that I'm about to release that I'm working on now and the EP and stuff is coming out is also called Tales of a Fool. So it's Tales of a Fool Stormfront for this new one. So that's the series, the music series in which I'm working on is Tales of a Fool. I'm also working on a book series called Tales of a Fool. So writing is very, very, very much a core of who I am. And you can hear it in the way in which I write my lyrics for my music as well, too, because words carry so much power. A single word, you know, well-placed can be, you know, extremely potent in the reaction to the reader or the listener. And I think my writing ability kind of falls into that. So saying that, some of my heroes, one of my heroes is Stan Lee. So I grew up idolizing Stan Lee. I got to meet him actually about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, that, woof, man, I turned into a 12-year-old schoolgirl. But, you know, that definitely played a huge part into my actual name because I wanted to give homage to everything that was what I did, which music and writing were two things in which I did. And I, at the same time, I didn't want to lose myself either. So my middle name is Jamal. So I decided to go with that, right, because my actual name is very, 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 very generic. So I decided to go with Jamal, and that would be a part of myself that I could put into my name, you know, that is still me. And then I chose Marvel because although Marvel specifically doesn't deal with music in the sense of it's not like, you know, a term that you normally associate with music, because I know the universe, I understand it so well. There's music all through the Marvel universe, through powers and the characters inside of it. So I figured just using that term, I am both paying homage to the music that inspired me, from the video games to the soundtrack of OTSs that I listen to the actual Marvel universe, or not, you know, the comic universe that I love so much too. And it's not just comic books as well. Comic books, anime, just the whole creative, you know, sci-fi fantasy, that whole entire realm of thinking is something that I akin to. So that played a part into my name. The name wasn't just supposed to be for music. It was supposed to be for everything that I wanted to represent as a brand.
Okay. All right, now, before I let you go, you have this new joint called Day and Night off your third project EP that's dropping later this month. Tell us the name of that EP and tell us about Day and Night.
Definitely, most definitely. So the EP drops the 30th of this month. It's called Tales of a Fool Stormfront. So it's Tales of a Fool Stormfront. And a single Day and Night, man. So I have a lot of music. I make a lot of music. like I'm backlogged in, you know, how much music I make. And Day and Night kind of came about, like, it wasn't supposed to be created. You know, I was supposed to, you know, use some of the music, some of the beats I already kind of written. And, you know, I was sitting on the computer and I was like, man, like, I want to create something. My creativity is pinging. I need to create. So I sat down and I made the beat and I was like, man, this is, I have to use this. This is something special. So Day and Night, the concept of it is we all go through stuff, right? Every day, you know, we're always going through, you know, life in general. And at nighttime, life doesn't stop. So we're going through, you know, life as a whole, day and night, right? And sometimes with life, you know, comes things that we consider to be negative experiences. And then also in life comes things that we consider to be positive experiences. But at the end of the day, be those experiences negative or positive, they're all lessons. And they help, you know, they help shape who we are and who we will be tomorrow and in that moment. So Day and Night is really just a song that kind of takes you through a journey. It starts off talking about the issues, the problems, the feeling of, man, today's just not going right. Man, everything's falling apart. Man, this is life. You know, you're screwing me over right now. To a transitional point of saying, you know, I'm glad I went through that because look how dope I am right now, right? I'm glad I went through that because look how far I am right now. The feel of the song, you know, I love the mix, like I said, eras of music. So I was trying to go for like a 70s type chorus, you know, that kind of like that laid back chill vibe with beat from with the drum kit from like the 90s and like a rap style that's more current, like current hip hop, you know, 2020. So that's kind of like the fusion. So like 90s drum kit with, you know, 70s hook and then like a more current rap style, modern. So, yeah, that's Day and Night. Out right now.
Okay. All right. Right now it is out. Now, before I have you introduce this song, because I want to end this interview with dropping this joint, let's talk a little bit about social media. How can the people find you? And how have you effectively used social media to gain fans?
Dope. That's a great question. So first thing first, you can find me simply by typing in my name, right? So I definitely worked hard to make sure that I was visible in the internet, right? So all you got to do is go to any platform, be it a streaming service that you listen to your music on, be it Google, right? Anything that you use. Just go to it and type in J-A-M J-A-A-L, and then Marvel, like Marvel Comics. So, again, that's Jamal Marvel, J-A-M-A-A-L, and then Marvel, like Marvel Comics. As far as how I use social media to gain fans, the first thing I wanted to do was make sure that I had a presence. On my Instagram, I don't just post, clips of performances or, promos of upcoming music. I also post personal things. So I like to travel. Every year I go to different countries and I like to travel. So I also do blogs and things like that to show individuals, hey, I do music, but this is where this music and stuff has been inspired from, right? So I try to be as personable on social media as possible, right? Because there's a zillion people on the planet that have social media accounts, right, that can be robotic. So for me, I try to use my personality. I try to use I try to establish a connection saying, hey, I am a person that you can relate to not only through my music but because I'm human as well too. Also, I make sure that I'm on every single – if it's a social media platform, I jump on it. If it's not even something that's popping, in America yet and it's popping in a different country and I heard about it, I'm like, how do I get on it, right? So, just making sure that your presence is out there so that you're easy – so that people can find you easily – it makes all the difference. You don't want people to have to struggle to find your craft.
Okay. All right, Jamal Marvel, it's been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you this evening, sir. Do me one big favor and introduce your record to the world.
Yo, 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 you're rocking with Jamal Marvel, and this joint right here is called Day and Night. Hope you guys enjoy.
Appreciate it, my G.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lessons that help us see.
Oh, let the tension
bad mother. Shut your mouth. Going through everything he's been through. I'm overcoming it, and I make it look easy. You know why? Cause I'm royalty.
I'm royalty.
Who fucking with me?
Who fucking with me?
Desperation, cause we're